Now, once again, if you find yourself in a position where a system works for you, but there is no apparent explanation for it, you are in the same position as if you found a gambling system that wins for you but has no scientific explanation. So my suggestion, again, is to bank your profits rather than reinvesting them. By all means, go along with the system if it works for you, with two conditions. First, keep looking for a rational explanation of why what is happening is happening. The sooner you find it, the faster you can improve upon the system to get even better results. Secondly, check your vulnerability carefully in every case, because you are riding on a wave you do not control. You are using a system you do not understand fully because you cannot logically explain it. So don't ride it in the direction of a reef, because you cannot be positive that you can steer it safely. Don't allow its working in the past to cause you to subject yourself to a vulnerability you're not willing to accept. If you can't rationally explain why your prayers seem to help you, don't count on them to save your life. Make sure you're not put in that position where you would have to call upon them to save your life. You never lose anything by taking a closer look at anything that appears to be working for you. You do not destroy what you had already. You are merely trying to improve upon it. You have nothing to lose but obstacles to your own well-being. Next week, we're going to dive into another controversial subject. This one will be freedom. We will first take a very brief look at the relationship of government to your freedom, and it will involve a very slight duplication of what was covered in the economics course, but very brief, and then go beyond that to the main body of that session, which will be to examine the various possibilities that are suggested for the construction of a free society. And I want to assure you in advance that this will not be a rehashing of the same old arguments. I am going to go about this in a way that I did not cover in the economics course at any time. And it is my attitude that what I'm going to present is a more realistic approach toward freedom than anything I've ever seen presented in the past. In fact, these conclusions, if not properly received, could be just as uncomfortable or even more so than tonight's discussion might have been for some. But I think you will want to consider these ideas very carefully because they have a great deal of relevance to your present life. The relevance is in the fact that practically every individual expends some of his resources either contemplating or working in some way toward his conception of the ideal society. Whether this is done through walking precinct to get somebody elected or through totally non-political means, most individuals are using some of their present resources to either preserve or to bring about what they call their freedom. Now, it will be the purpose of next week's session to try to channel those resources into the most productive means, so none of your present resources are wasted on things that are irrelevant in your life. In the process, if it proves to be extremely profitable for you, it will be in the form of releasing a tremendous amount of creative energy within you that can be used directly for your own well-being. But you will have to decide for yourself, of course, whether the ideas are more useful to you than those you've heard in the past. Now, in the same way, tonight I've presented this lecture in the first person because it contains certain conclusions that I can live by. It is binding upon no one but myself. As I've presented it, you will either accept all of it or parts of it or none of it for yourself. In fact, you may have done all that long before you ever met me. But the point is that it must be your decisions that determine the nature of life for you and how it will affect your code of conduct. And that includes the relevance of God. After all I've said, it would take an awful lot of gall on my part that you accept my conclusions without thinking them through for yourself, because there are millions of such conclusions in this world. Without proving them for yourself, how would you know which of the millions to accept on faith? So let me close this session with a final coup de grace argument. But just suppose there is a God, and he is a jealous God, and there is a fiery hell. Do you want to take the risk by betting that there isn't? The answer is, yes, I am quite willing to take that risk. In fact, if I die and find myself judged by a God who says, you heard the truth while on earth and you refused to accept it on the faith I commanded you to have through the Bible, and I hereby condemn you to a life of eternal damnation. If that is what I find, then I would not be able to regret my decision in any way whatsoever. It was based upon the knowledge available to me, not just that which I sought out, but to the best of my knowledge, all that was even available to go look for. I had realized that not all knowledge was available to me. To repeat my life, I would do the same thing in the same circumstances.